The Spirit of the Lord is in this house. Hallelujah. Can you pray? Just continue to play softly. Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that change is on the horizon. And you're doing something on the inside. Everybody looks at the outside and judges from the outside. But Lord, I declare today that you're doing something on the inside today. And I thank you for moving in our families and upon our children and our loved ones, that the blinders will be taken off and their eyes will be open to the truth of who Jesus is. I thank you for revelation, God, coming forth from the throne room. I thank you, God, that we will see and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today, to us as individuals, to us as a nation, to us as a body of Christ, to our ministries. I thank you. You could be seated. I promise I won't be before you long. It's a twofold message. I thought about what Pastor Warren said last week. He talked about the thing. So I just have two questions or a twofold message. There's storms brewing in the natural, and there's storms in the spirit realm as well. My niece said it's raining in Southern California, and my son is there, and she was driving down, and there are mudslides and sinkholes, even as you drive down the street. And so the employers are letting the employees off early because of the continual rain. So there's a storm, so it's moving from Southern California to Northern California. Now, I want to talk about the storm that's in your life. The storms in your life. And I'll just pose the question. And I just want you to meditate. What are you worried about? Even this morning. What are you worried about? What's going on in your heart? I want to address the disturbance inside of you. The storms of life, which are keeping us from moving in our gifts and talents. Moving in, operating in the spirit realm in our gifts and talents. The disturbance inside of you. I want to talk about inner turmoil. And I want to talk about that because I can, because I have been through inner turmoil. And I thought about it, and I meditated on it. And it's a state of worry. You're upset about something. You're troubled in your mind. There's been an interruption of your peace, meaning something is going on. That there's a restlessness inside of you. And you could be struggling and dealing with an ailment in your body. See, that's troubling, and that'll throw you off course. What is disturbing you? What is it? And you're saying to yourself, if I could get out of this situation, if I could get out of this situation that I'm in, God, I could be happy. I could do your will if I could just get out. I could love other people more if I could just get out of this situation. But it seems like nothing is happening. Nothing. But he's with us. Even in the storms of life. It would be wonderful if God would simply promise us that we would never go through difficulties. But we do. He warns us of the dangers and difficulties in his holy word. The apostle Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. The Bible tells us that we will go through difficult times. And Psalm 23 talks about, and it warns us, that God will keep us from danger, but rather, it won't keep us from danger, but it says there will come a time in his life when we feel like that we're walking through a dark valley, a valley of the shadow of death. But the word of God does make it clear that as we move through such times, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they're with me, they comfort me. And so you go through these difficult times, but God is there to sustain you. And he wants to quiet the storm in your life, the storm that's in your family's life. He wants to still the storms so that you're able to operate in the giftings and callings. Because now is the time. One of the things that Jesus spoke about to his disciples, and that he talked about worry. Now, I'm going to Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 through 27. And remember the storm on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat. He said, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. So he had given them a command. He had given them instructions. Get in the boat. We're going to the other side. And think about it. The disciples were experienced fishermen. They had seen many storms during their lifetime. They knew that storms could suddenly come up and unexpectedly, and they were dangerous in some cases. Life-threatening. And suddenly and without warning, a fierce storm arose and the waves began crashing over their boat, and they thought they were going to drown. And there are times when you feel like storms arise in your life. And you feel like you're going to drown. But this storm was different. This was the worst that they had ever seen. Yet at the end of the boat or the stern, there was Jesus fast asleep. And all this was going on. And Jesus was fast asleep in the stern. They thought, how could he sleep when they were about to perish in the storm? And you say, Jesus, how can you not hear me? And I'm going through this storm. All hell is broken loose. Jesus, where are you? I'm in the middle of this mess. I'm in the middle of a crisis, and I don't see you, Jesus. How could he sleep when they were about to perish in the storm? They were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and there was no way they could swim back to shore. There was no way out. Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 through 27 describes the event. And behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, that the boat was covered with the waves, but he himself was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. They awoke him in their loud cry, with their loud cries and their repeated calls to Jesus, save us, Lord. Save my family, God. You see what my son is doing. You see what my daughter is doing. Repeatedly loud cries expressing their distress, and they wanted deliverance, saying, save us, we perish. We are lost in the sea. They saw the condition that they were in. The boat was sinking. And I'll ask you, what condition is your heart in? I'm talking about the inside. What's the condition of your heart? What's going on? You cannot rise up. What's going on? It looked like it was over. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, 26, "Why are you so afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the Bible says in verse 27, the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And he wants to do the same for you, calm the storm in your life. And the question is, are you willing to release the emotions to him that are affecting your life in a negative way? I'm talking about your emotional state this morning. Your mental state of mind. Where are you that you can't read your Bible? It's sitting on the dresser. It's sitting on the table, but you have not picked it, your Bible up to even open it to read it. What is the storm that keeps you? That's holding you back? It's emotional. And I truly believe that this is a year that many of our gifts and talents will increase and be put on display for the world to see. There are great ministries right here in this room. If there's one thing I can stress in 2017, don't bury your gifts and talents. They are crucial for this day. The Muslims are saying that they're going to take the world by storm with Islam. That Christianity, their goal is for Christianity to decrease so that Islam can increase. So they want to show us as weaklings. And Allah is the true God. And so that's why God wants to address the storms in our lives. He wants to deal with the inside, the inner man, so that you could be free. And he wants you to know how important your gifts are. The Lord said, I'm going to speak to many concerning the giftings and talents that I have ordained over your life before you were born. Many of you have felt my grace and anointing in those areas. Many of you have stewarded well, and I say well done, faithful ones. But many have stewarded poorly and have buried my giftings and talents in the ground. You've done nothing with the giftings and talents that God has given you because you've caught up in the cares of this life. You have been distracted and have lost your passion. And without passion, how can you go after God? How can you have a prayer life without passion? You'll sit by the wayside. You'll compromise. You have been overcome by the cares of life that have shifted your focus and your vision. Your focus is on what's going on around you. There's been a shift in your focus and your vision. But know this, the Lord said, my giftings are irrevocable. I'm not taking back what I have given you. I'm going to breathe life into your giftings and talents that have been shelved, that you have ignored, that you have neglected and put on the back burner. He says, I'm resurrecting dreams and visions that you have buried. There's going to be a spiritual realignment like a plumb line, like Judy talked about. in this year. The Lord says, I'm going to orchestrate things in your life where your giftings and talents will be brought to the forefront from the background. You've been in the background too long. You have too much inside of you to not do anything. As you steward your giftings well, I'll bring you into places of influence, favor, and promotion. I'm going to place godly ones over the strategic leadership positions, over those mountains of influence in society that Pastor talked about, the mountains. And he's saying, revisit the prophetic promises that have been spoken over your life. Revisit the prophetic word that has been spoken over your life. He said, for many of you, I'm restoring your voice to impact your environment where you have felt muffled. I'm restoring power and strength over your life where you have felt defeated, where you have felt helpless, that there's nothing I can do. Mighty deeds will be done through many of your hands that will astound many, even yourself, if you can believe. Pick up that rod of faith and watch the miracles the Lord says I'm about to do in you and through you, your life. The church's potency and influence is contingent on us, the saints of God, operating in our full potential of our giftings and talents that God has endowed us with. But if God's people are discouraged and poor stewards of their giftings and talents, and you've buried your talent, you've lost your passion, how can the church rise? Moses is one person the enemy tried to quench, nullify, and forfeit his giftings and talents. And that is what the enemy is trying to do to each and every one of you, and myself included, to nullify your gifts and talents, to make them void and null, so you will be non-effective in the body of Christ. You just come and you sit and you do nothing Monday through Friday, and you come in here on Sunday and you go home, and it's the same cycle over and over and over and over again. Days and months and weeks and years go by and you have produced nothing. You are in the same cycle and situation. But no, that's the enemy trying to stop you and keep you in a place of compromise. I'm going to talk about Moses, and then I'm going to close out. At this time, the Bible says, Moses was born and was pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And the Bible says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians and was mighty in word and deed. And that's Acts chapter 7, verse 20 through 22. Moses was learned. He was mighty in words and deed. But over time, Moses lost his mighty words and deeds, and that was his gifting, part of his giftings and calling. Mighty. But over time, Moses grew up in words and deeds. He grew mighty, and that was his testimony. That was who he was. He was confident, he was articulate, he was eloquent, a great communicator, and strong physically. That was his testimony. You have a testimony. It's amazing that the same Moses, years later, when God called him, would repeatedly give excuses for the same qualities and giftings that God had given him. He was about 40 years old when he was struck down, when he struck down the Egyptian and had to flee to Midian. So for the next 40 years, he was a shepherd in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And then the Lord encountered him powerfully in the burning bush. And this is the year that God is going to encounter you in the burning bush. This is the year of your encounter with the Almighty God, because it's time for us to rise up and display the mighty power of God. But if there's an inner turmoil, how can we do that? If we've lost our passion, how are we going to rise up and change our environment when we're in need of prayer? And we're saying, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Don't forget about me, Lord. Help me. So how can you rise in might and word and deed, and you're in need, and you have little faith? So how can you have faith for somebody else to be healed and you don't have faith for your own self to be healed? How can you have faith for the power of God to move in somebody's life and you don't even have the faith for the power of God to move in your life, because you are walking in doubt, because you've not spent time with God in prayer, you've not spent time with God in his word, and so there's doubt, and your faith is like this. But you're going to turn the world upside down. Oh, ye of little faith. And so there he was. A long time had passed since Moses was mighty in words and deed. And we're about to see how far Moses had departed from an eloquent, mighty man to an insecure, stuttering shepherd in the wilderness. And don't we let insecurities, our insecurities, keep us from moving forward in God? And sometimes there's a mighty gifting inside of you, and you hold it back because of your insecurity. Or if I were to ask you to pray for somebody and you step back and said, well, let Sister So-and-so pray. But see, that's the insecurity inside of you. So here we see a man who was mighty in word and deed and physically strong, stuttering, excuses, and insecure. When God called him to deliver his people from Pharaoh, Moses would give these excuses. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. What shall I say to them? But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. What if I tell somebody about Jesus and they won't listen to me? They won't believe me. What if I were to open my mouth and I wanted to minister Jesus, but they won't believe me? Your insecurities are rising. And he said in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He was known for wisdom, his mighty words, his voice, and deeds. And then he said, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue, Lord. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And God is calling you from the back to the front. I don't know, Lord. I don't know. Oh, Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Send somebody else, Lord. I don't know about this. I'm not ready yet. You'll never be ready. God makes you ready. When you get into your prayer closet and you begin to read that word and it begins to feed your spirit, and then you'll get up and you'll say, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. I decree and declare that out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. I declare and decree that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That God is going to move inside of you, and there's going to be a cleansing of your heart to make ready a people to walk in power and might. No more being afraid of what the devil is going to do. No more testimonies. The devil did this and the devil did that. But the testimony is what God is doing. So you can walk in the power and might of the Almighty God. It's time to arise and let your light shine. It's time to arise and believe that God has touched your body already this morning. That you can walk out of this place and say to God, be the glory. That he has brought the change. I may not feel it, but I believe in the power of God. I believe the word of God, that there is a change on the inside of me, whether I feel it or not. That I'm walking in a new anointing. That I'm walking in the power of the Almighty God. Why? Because he loves me and he's called me and he has chosen me. May the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you this year. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for you. I'm talking about you who love him. My prayers, may the Lord enlarge your borders and bring increase in every area of your life. I want you to begin to expect great things from God, for he is great and there is none like the Lord our God. But you have to begin to see it with your spiritual eyes. You can't see it through your natural eyes because you'll fail. So I pray that the blinders will be taken off and we'll begin to see in the spirit realm. We'll begin to see as God sees. We'll begin to declare what God declares. We'll begin to walk in the power and might of the Almighty God, unafraid. Open your eyes and see the larger life God is calling you to. You're not alone. God will fight for you. And you can go ahead in spite of any fears and do what God has called you to do. Is it easy? No. No. But have faith in God. Take the focus off of you. Take the focus off of what you're going through and believe God is going to maneuver you through this storm. You're in the storm. But you're saying there's no way out. But in the storm, as you believe God, as you trust God, you'll come out mature. You'll come out with boldness and confidence because you've suffered. You've gone through loss. You've gone through heartache. You've gone through suffering. So you understand when the world begins to come into the church, you can identify with them. You'll say, I know what it is to lose a loved one because I've lost someone I loved that I had to bury. I've lost a job. I know my family is going through. You'll say, I know, and I can identify. I understand, sister. I understand. Because I've been through the pain and the heartache. But I tell you one thing, that God has brought me out to the other side. And